The scripture reading this morning is found in Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 13, verses 1 through 11. If you'd like to follow along in the Bible under the chair in front of you, it's on page 762. And if you would like to take that Bible with you, if you don't have one at home, we invite you to do that and make it your own. Hear the word of God from Jeremiah chapter 13, beginning at the first verse. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a linen belt and put it around your waist, but do not let it touch water. So I bought a belt as the Lord directed and put it around my waist. Then the word of the Lord came to me a second time. Take the belt you bought and are wearing around your waist and go now to Pereth and hide it there in a crevice in the rocks. So I went and hid it at Pereth as the Lord told me. Many days later, the Lord said to me, go now to Pereth and get the belt I told you to hide there. So I went to Pereth and dug up the belt and took it from the place where I had hidden it, but now it was ruined and completely useless. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve and worship them, will be like this belt, completely useless. For as a belt is bound around a man's waist, so I bound the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to me, declares the Lord, to be my people for my renown and praise and honor. But they have not listened.
So it seems that I couldn't find a pen. I don't know if that ever happens to you, but I know that pens seem to disappear from my desk. It's like a black hole that sucks them in. I don't know where they go. I envision they're gathered together in some happy place, dancing and celebrating their freedom, along with all my unmatched socks. But regardless of where they went, the fact is that I was missing a pen. And so I decided I needed to get one. Now, the thing is that I'm very particular about the kind of pens that I use. You can ask Maureen this. She's gone on long hunts to find them. See, I've grown accustomed to the Bic Crystal. I know it's foolish. Pen is a pen, you say. But this pen is different. This pen is different. You see, this pen is an item of purpose. It's an implement designed for the purpose of writing smoothly and cleanly. It's loaded with ink to fulfill that purpose. It fits my fingers perfectly to fulfill that purpose. And the tip? Oh, the tip. The tip is precisely engineered to release that inky fluid so that my writing experience is wonderful. But alas, on occasion, even the Bic Crystal fails to write. Due to some act of nature, the ink doesn't come through the tip, that finely engineered, precise instrument. And even though I frantically draw it across the paper like this to get it going again, it doesn't work. I just rip through the page. You see, the fact is that a pen that doesn't write, even if it's a Bic Crystal, is useless. And as I got to thinking about that pen, I got thinking about my own spiritual life. That's the way I think. And I found myself asking this question. I said, Wes, are you doing what you were designed to do? Wes, are you living out your purpose? Now, the question of purpose is an important one for us because our purpose drives our actions And our purpose drives our choices. And the good news for us as believers is that our purpose is defined for us. It isn't something that has to be sought after or formulated or developed. We don't have to take a class in purpose. Our purpose is defined in terms of our relationship to Christ. The Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it this way. What is the chief end of man, it asks? That is, what is the purpose of man? And it answers, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. As Christians, it would seem that we are bound for renown. That is, we're bound to God for the purpose of living our lives to his glory and to his praise and to his adoration. That's our purpose. In the story we read this morning, we were given a picture of what it looks like when our relationship to God is hidden away, when it falls into disrepair, and when we cease to live our lives in accordance with that purpose of being bound to him, to give him praise and glory and honor. So in essence, we're given a picture of what it means to be loose with no use. Now, object lessons like the ones found in this morning's reading, they were commonly used tools of the trade of Old Testament prophets. They served as vivid pictures of the way God worked or as expressions of some particular principle that God wanted his people to embrace. The use of a material object as a teaching tool would have, in effect, been a sort of stamp of authenticity upon the prophetic ministry of Jeremiah. His use of this kind of teaching tool would have placed him in the company of other great prophets, and the people would have understood the tactic as associated with his prophetic ministry. The choice of a particular object might also have had some meaning. In this case, the linen belt would have been symbolic of Jeremiah's role. You see, the linen belt was typically worn by the priests, and it was a sign of their office. But it might also have been understood on a practical level. You see, it was a useful item of clothing. The linen belt was useful for holding things and to tighten the robes around the individual so they would have had more freedom of movement. So in Jeremiah 13, 1 and 2, it says this. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a belt and put it around your waist, but do not let it touch water. So I bought a belt, as the Lord directed, and I put it around my waist. Jeremiah was told to get himself a brand new linen belt. The fact that it's new reflects its untarnished, its unused, its clean and pure nature as a garment. And this is highlighted further by the fact that it was not to touch water. You see, it came clean. And because it was clean, dry, freshly pressed, there was no reason for it to have touched water. So in its new and pristine state, it was a picture of that which is unspoiled. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're told this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Our being in Christ and our being a new creation is kind of like this new linen belt. We were made new and clean and fresh when we entered into that relationship to Christ. The old has passed away and the new has come. Then in Jeremiah 13:3, it says this, when the word of the Lord came to me a second time, take the belt you bought and are wearing around your waist and go now to Pereth and hide it there in a crevice in the rocks. So I went and hid it at Pereth, as the Lord told me. Now, it isn't clear from the text how long it was before Jeremiah was to go and hide this brand new linen belt. He might have worn it for a while, or he might have only worn it for a short time. But whether the belt was worn for a short time or the belt was worn for a long time, the fact is that as part of this demonstration, it was now to be hidden away. You know, whether we've been in relationship to Christ for a long time or whether we've been in relationship to Christ for a short while, we can find ourselves hiding away our faith just as Jeremiah hid the belt. People hide their faith for all kinds of reasons. We can go through the things that shake us up. We can leave our relationship to Christ unattended for a while. Perhaps it's the death of a loved one that has us shaken. Maybe it's a time of intense struggle, an interpersonal struggle. Maybe it's an intense struggle at work that causes us to hide away our faith. Sometimes we hide away our faith in response to some hurt that has occurred at another church. I hear about those occasionally. Sometimes we hide away our faith because of a hurt that occurs here at Grace. Difficult times can have a way of shaking our faith and getting us focused upon ourselves, getting our eyes off of God, off of maintaining that relationship and staying close to Him. Sometimes we start to entertain the notion that maybe this relationship with God isn't all it's cracked up to be. I mean, after all, I can pretty much take care of myself, and He really isn't coming through for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going through these difficult times. And we start to think, I can get through these difficult times all on my own. God just isn't meeting my expectations. In difficult days, it's easy to think that these times of hiding our faith are the result of factors beyond our control. We justify the slipping of our relational bonds with God as the result of the situations themselves. Our culture is masterful at this tactic. We're not responsible for anything in our culture. It doesn't take but a half an hour of TV viewing to figure that out. All we do is respond to bad situations. The truth, however, is that if our relationship with God is stagnated, it's not because He left us, but that we've hidden ourselves from Him. He didn't move. He didn't change. He didn't become faithless or untrue. When we hide things, it's a purposeful act. Jeremiah was not asked to lose the belt. He was told to hide it. And so we're given a picture of what happens when we take something precious and we put it aside and keep it unattended and walk away from it for a while. Practically speaking, we hide away our faith when we pull away from His promptings. We hide away from faith when we fail to acknowledge God's word. We begin to ignore His word. We do this when we stop interacting with God through prayer. And we do this when we harbor secret sin in our lives and nurture that instead of seeking the abiding presence of God. And as we let our relationship stagnate and we let it fall into disuse, we in essence walk away from our purpose and we become purposeless. That's to say, we become people with no use. Reminds me of a good friend that I had at New Paltz High School. John and I were extraordinarily close while we walked the halls of New Paltz High. I mean, we were constantly together. We spent hours and hours together. We were known by some of the teachers as the Bobbsey twins. Never knew who the Bobbsey twins were, but I accorded it an honor. And when we graduated, we really envisioned that we would be friends forever. You know, and we'd get our families together and we'd remember the good old days. Yet, after 4 years of college, in distance, and the failure to communicate, we lost track of each other. And eventually, we had no friendship to speak of whatsoever. Just the memory of a friendship, really. And it strikes me that our relationship, our friendship, didn't fall away due to circumstances beyond our control. No, our relationship collapsed because we didn't work at it. We kind of magically thought it would continue on its own energy. We didn't make time for it. We hid it away. Hiding the belt in the crevice of the rocks was a way of tangibly demonstrating the belt's utter uselessness. Hidden away, it no longer had any symbolic purpose as a mark of Jeremiah's priesthood, and it certainly would have lost all practical application. Now the linen belt was not being used at all. It had been set aside. Jeremiah would no longer be bound to it. Many days later, the Lord said to me, "Go now to Parath and get the belt I told you to hide there." So I went to Parath and dug up the belt and took it from the place where I had hidden it. But now it was ruined and completely useless. God speaks to Jeremiah a third time. And this time He tells him to go and retrieve that belt that he had hidden away. And after digging it up, he finds that prize garment, that unspoiled, untarnished, clean garment, is now ruined. It's completely useless. And then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord says. "In the same way I will ruin the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These wicked people who refuse to listen to my words, who follow the stubbornness of their hearts and go after other gods to serve, and worship them will be like this belt, completely useless. For as a belt is bound around a man's waist, so I bound the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to me, declares the Lord, to be my people for my renown and praise and honor. But they have not listened. So after Jeremiah dug up the belt, the Lord explained to him the meaning of the hidden belt. God is going to ruin the pride and the great pride of Jerusalem. It is this pride that has made the people break the bond of relationship that they had with their Lord. And as such, they had become wicked and therefore useless. Their refusal to listen, their stubborn hearts and idolatrous ways were the choices and actions that were the result of their walking away from their purpose. And I believe it's safe to assume that the opposite can be postulated as well. The humble, those who know who they are and what their purpose is, they will act in righteousness as the result of being accepted by the Lord and brought into relationship with Him. The righteous are characterized as those who listen and those who follow God's lead and those who worship and pursue God. That's kind of a neat little triad. They listen to what He has to say, they follow and they act on what He has to say to them, and then they offer Him praise for that. They listen and they follow and they offer Him praise. It's a rather striking contrast being made here. When we're bound for renown to God, we have a purpose, and righteousness flows from our being in relationship to God. Our actions and choices begin to reflect our purposes. The wicked, on the other hand, those who are no longer bound to God, they're hiding away their faith. And slowly and steadily, they'll begin to reflect their purposelessness by being characterized as stubborn, unlistening, and idolatrous. Interesting. Stubborn, that is, they're not going to follow. Unlistening and idolatrous, they're going to worship something else. They're going to worship something else. They're going to worship themselves. And as such, they'll become increasingly ruined and increasingly useless. And when we tear off our priestly garment, that is to say, when we walk away from our relationship to God for whatever reason, and we hide it away, unseen, unused, uncared for, we cast aside our purpose. And people without direction and people without purpose do crazy, crazy things. I'm reminded of three young men who were convicted of throwing rocks off a bridge onto the passing cars onto the New York State Thruway. Do you remember that case? I was so struck by that. They were reported to have said that they had chosen to throw the rocks off the bridge because they were bored. Wow. They were bored. They didn't have a purpose. They had no place to be, nothing to do, no direction. Their purposelessness led to the death of Karen Zentner, a young bride-to-be. It's an extreme case. But people without a purpose will do crazy things. They'll follow crazy gods and chase after crazy stuff. Oh, people without purpose, they'll find a purpose. And that purpose will be of their own making. It won't be of God's. And because it is of their own design, it'll be characterized by the fallen nature of its fallen creator, us. So is the pen of your life working the way it was designed to, or is it all gobbed up at the end? Is it writing smoothly for Christ? Or do you find that it's not writing at all and you're simply ripping through the pages of your journey? Are you living bound for renown, or are you loose with no use? If you find yourself able to say with a clear conscience this morning, yes, I'm growing in relationship to God, and I'm choosing to follow His lead, not perfectly, mind you. I mess it up all the time. But I'm working at growing to love Him, and I'm growing in my longing for Him and my desire to please Him. If you can say that with a clear conscience, and praise God, keep it up. Keep living for Him. But But if you're here today and you're a believer and you recognize that you've in fact hidden away your faith, please understand, you're not living for Him. You're not living for His purpose. You're simply choosing to live out another purpose, and one that you were not designed to live for, and one that the Lord freed you from. If you've hidden it away, then go. Dig up that belt. Find it again. Pull off the rocks and the junk that's covered it up. Pull it out from its hiding place where it's been unused and unseen and uncared for, and ask God to give you the freedom to grab it back. Ask Him to forgive you for hiding it away in the first place. And then accept His offer of forgiveness and return to Him. Come back to Him. And that which is ruined will be made right. And that which is of no use will be renewed for His glory. I'm reminded of a passage from Isaiah. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. He can restore that hidden belt that's been ruined and made useless. And perhaps you're here today and you don't know Christ at all. You've not hidden Him away. You've never bound yourself to Him in the first place. And can I make an offer to you? Today can be the day that you really know why you exist, what your purpose is, why you're here in the first place. Today, you can make Christ Jesus the Lord of your life. You can bind Him around you. And you can know freedom. And you can know purpose. And you can know forgiveness. You can stop the ceaseless striving, the attempts to find meaning in this life. I hope you're bound for renown. Hope we all are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to be bound for Your renown. I want to be so focused on Your purpose, so desirous of Your filling and Your leading, Lord God, that I never, ever leave that path. I never walk away from You. I never hide away that wonderful, pristine relationship You've given to us. But Father, I know that I fail, and I know that I drop the ball, and I know that I even sometimes hide away my faith. I pray, Father God, that in those occasions that I will quickly dig it up, quickly come to You and seek Your forgiveness, that I may be renewed and made right and brought back into Your presence. Father, make us a people that's bound for Your glory, bound for Your honor. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.